Well, hey, kids, now I know that normally when I preach, if you're in here, you know, we give you a coloring sheet so you can have something to do because, you know, it's not a lot of fun to have to just listen to me. But I want you to listen for 10 minutes. Could you listen just for 10 minutes? Parents, you're going to have to listen a little longer. But kids, because there's a portion of the Bible that is specifically, especially for kids and their daddies. It could probably be parents all together, but he speaks to kids and he speaks, God does, and he speaks to daddies. And it's in Ephesians chapter 6. So open up your Bible there. Kids, listen to this. I'll give you the signal when you can go to coloring or whatever you're going to do. But listen to what Ephesians chapter 6 says. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now I know that sounds like I tricked you, right? Like, hey, God's got something for you to hear. And then I tell you something that you've heard a million times. Children, obey your parents. Anybody, any kid out there ever heard their parents say, obey? Okay, yes, all of us have. Anybody, an adult, ever had been told to obey when you were a child? Yes, of course you have. Obey. Let me tell you, this is what we call a command. A command in the Bible is when God tells us, this is what you are to do. Now, none of us really enjoy commands because it's like, oh, we don't like to be told what to do. But let me tell you something that's true about commands. First of all, every command in the Bible is important. It's important. God never makes a frivolous or casual command. He never sits around and thinks, oh, here's something that'll ruin their day and makes a command. He doesn't say, they're having too much fun over here. I think I'll issue a command. His commands are always important. They're never random. Secondly, his commands are almost never natural for us. If they were natural, if what he wants us to do was what we naturally wanted to do, he wouldn't have to command us. He commands us because he knows that this isn't what's natural for us. It's not where we want to go all the time. But it's important. And so he says, I'm going to make sure you don't miss it. You know, there's things that your parents teach you. Some things they let you learn on your own, okay? But other things like don't touch the stove, they give you a command. They say, do not touch the stove. The knives that are in the kitchen, they say, do not play with those knives. Because they're important commands. And sometimes our curiosity would make us want to go toward those things. Let me tell you a third thing about a command, and this, kids, is the most important one, I think, is that God's commands are always part of his treasure map for your life. Hey, raise your hand if you've ever seen a treasure map. Ever seen a treasure map? Let's put one on the screen. So now everybody can raise your hand because everybody's now seen a treasure map. You know, a treasure map has a dotted line that takes you past the Skull Rock and past the Volcano Mountains and around past the Piranha Lagoon, all the way to the X. And what's at the X? Treasure, exactly. And the map, that dotted line, is the way that you avoid all the dangerous things and make it all the way to the treasure. Every one of God's commands for kids and for mommies and daddies is part of his treasure map. It's part of his dotted line to take you past the dangerous things, past the evil in the world. He wants to help you avoid making decisions that are going to hurt you. Avoid making decisions that are going to bring about destruction in your life, destruction of relationships, destruction of hope, destruction of your identity. Every one of God's commands is like a dotted, part of the dotted line, leading you to his treasure. And the reason we know this is in the very next line, he says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother so that it may go well with you. That's what he wants. God wants life to go well with you. He's not against you. He's for you. Is that right, parents? He's not against you, kids. He's for you. And so his commands are to help you avoid falling in a pit. His commands are to help you avoid the piranha lagoon of life. He wants you to experience the treasure. But here's the deal about God. He's different from us. Like, you, you, Even though we can sense God's presence, we don't see him with our physical eyes. We don't hear him very often with our physical ears, even though we can discern the spiritual voice of the Holy Spirit. And God loves us, but he doesn't give us hugs physically. And so he knows that it's challenging for us to follow him. And so you know what he does when we're kids? He lets us practice with our parents. Parents, this is such a sweet thing that he does to inject significance into our lives. He says, I'm going to include you in being the first, helping set the first impression that your kids have of me. And so he says to children, and we were all there at one time, he says to children, obey your parents. This is the way to go so that it will go well with you in your life. And so they practice with us because they can, kids, you can see your mommy and daddy. You can feel their hug. You can hear their voice with your ears. In fact, one of the most important things, if we were going to define what is faithfulness for a child, and I don't mean just little children, I mean middle schoolers and teenagers, God's most important thing for them, it's one of the Ten Commandments. He looks at faithfulness in terms of their honoring their father and mother, obeying them. When we as kids obey our parents, God says, yes, that's what I was looking for. Because God knows that if you can learn to obey them, that when that day comes, when you put and trust him in your heart, and that ultimate day comes, and you begin to be an adult yourself and get to make the decisions, you're going to have had practice in following him by following your parents. That's why it's a command. And that's why it's so important. And then the very next line, he speaks to dads and he says, dads, do not exasperate your kids. Don't frustrate your kids. I mean, here's the reason why. Like, you're the first expression, you're the first impression that your kids have of God. And so he says, Kirk, don't exasperate them. Why? Because he's not an exasperator. So if I'm exasperating them, I'm not expressing or painting an accurate picture of who God is. See, God uses kindness. We sang this a moment ago. God uses kindness to lead us to repentance. He's not an exasperator. He's a listener. He's an encourager. He loves our heart. And so he says, dads, don't exasperate your kids. And like with the kids, this is a command. It's a command because he knows that it is natural for me to be an exasperator. And you know why? Because sometimes my kids exasperate me. Right? In fact, my kids do exactly to me what I did to my sweet mom, which my sweet mom, she was not always sweet. Don't let her fool you, okay? You who know her. She was a kid too, and she did the very same things I did to her parents, and her mom did the same to her parents. Our kids, when we are kids, we often exasperate adults because of our self-centeredness, the short-sightedness of our vision, and the way that we argue and fight and bicker at times. And there were times when at the end of the day, I would just be like, God, can you believe these kids? And God would say to me, welcome to the club. Because the very things that we did to our parents as kids are the same things that we do as adults to God. We're selfish. We don't want to trust him. We don't want to go his way. And yet, he says he loves us with an everlasting love. And yet he endures. And yet he perseveres. You see this all through the Old Testament. God would express his love and the Israelites, they would follow him. And then they'd get distracted and think maybe there's a better way. And so they'd go and depart from him. And they'd experience the consequence of that. And then in despair, they cry out to God and God would receive them back because he's not an exasperator. He's not a frustrator. He loves us. And so he wants to include us in that with our kids. And let me just tell you, you know how we exasperate our kids? We exasperate them either in what we do or we exasperate them in what we do not do. I think as a pastor, and over the last, 16 years here and maybe 19 years altogether, I would say that seeing hundreds, maybe thousands of families play out their lives and talking to tons of dads and tons of moms, I think that maybe the number one way that we exasperate our kids is that we use shame and guilt as motivators. And if you're wondering what I mean, then think about things like sarcasm and anger. I'm actually pretty good at being sarcastic. It's a gift. But when I use it with my kids, when I get exasperated by them and I use sarcasm, I'm putting shame on them. I'm being careful of the words I use. I'm tacitly, implicitly calling them dummies. That's what sarcasm does. Oh, really? That I'm saying, in essence, you're dumb. And that heaps shame and guilt on them. And that's the very opposite of what Jesus came to do. Remember Romans 8? Romans 8 says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He came specifically to remove guilt from us so that we would never have to experience it again. And so when I use it as a motivator, I'm not projecting him accurately. I'm not giving my kids a first impression that is similar to how God really is. And here's what the Lord told me. Sarcasm and anger were two things I really struggled with. And as the Lord was setting me free from those, he said, every time you use sarcasm or anger with your kids, Kirk, I want you to apologize. I was like, how am I going to have time for anything else, God? Every time, go and apologize. And at first I thought, well, if I apologize, if I do that and I admit I'm wrong, then I'm going to diminish my authority in their eyes. It doesn't work that way. When you apologize, you make room for God's grace to come in. And it actually builds up your position in the eyes and the minds of your kids. My kids, I took that to heart. I'm not saying I did it right every time, okay? But I tried to apologize every time I used sarcasm or anger with my kids. And I would go to them and I would say, honey, when we were talking about, I have three daughters. When we were talking, having that discussion, I spoke more intensely than I wanted to be. That anger is not what I want you to experience. And I want to ask you to forgive me. And my girls now, it's a little embarrassing, but if I brought in, I'm a words of affirmation guy, my love language is I like to be told, I like to hear love. And my girls will often write me letters on Father's Day or on my birthday, just telling me what they love about me. It's a little embarrassing, but it's better than nothing. When they write in almost every letter, you're really good at saying I'm sorry. I'm like, wait a second. But seriously, wouldn't you rather be known as a man or a woman who's really good at saying you're sorry? You're not going to be perfect. So since that's the case, wouldn't you rather be known as someone who's really good at saying you're sorry as opposed to someone who simply can't humble themselves? Come on. I've asked my daughters, I think I get it. I'm good at that. Let's write something else about daddy now, though. another way that we exasperate our kids is we don't listen to them. Even when they're little, listening is like an expression of grace. When someone listens to you in your heart and your feelings and your opinions, I mean, nobody owes us that. So when somebody listens to me, I'm like, wow, this is love I do not deserve. It's grace, an expression of grace. And our kids need that too. Let me tell you, I had to understand this better. Listening to my child does not mean I can't then make a decision that they don't like. I am the parent. But when I listen to them, and there's times when, you know what? We're done talking. Okay, I get that. There's times we draw that line. It is bedtime. We're going to bed now. Okay, but as a whole, I want my kids, and you've got to figure out how this works in your own family. I want my kids to grow up feeling listened to know that I honor their thoughts. Because ultimately, my job is not merely to get them to comply. Because when they're 18 and they're on their own, more or less, they're going to do whatever they want. My job is not to get them merely to comply in the moment. It is to teach them how to make good decisions that honor the Lord. And so I got to hear their heart. I got to know what they're thinking. I got to hear, how are you perceiving this? You want to go this way. We're in disagreement. This is when we're teenagers too. We're in disagreement. Help me understand why you feel this is so utterly essential to your existence that you go to this thing or have this object. And I listened to them. And sometimes I was like, oh, I would learn something I didn't know before. But every time, their hearts were honored and it built trust between them and me, listening to them. Another way that we sometimes exasperate our kids is we don't show them affection. I would say when I talk with dads or men who are going through hard times as an adult, that one of the most common things I hear is, you know, I don't ever remember my dad saying that he loved me. I don't remember my dad. My dad just wasn't very affectionate. Or, you know, I can't remember the last time my dad hugged me. I get that many of us did not have a role model that's going to help us with this. Okay, and I get the fact that sometimes that person who should have been the role model was the very one that hurt us, that made us even harder to actually be a dad now. But dads, if you're not affectionate, it's time to learn. It's time to do whatever it takes to get to a place where you can express love verbally and physically to your kids. They need it. That cycle that maybe you've seen in your family over the course of generations, you can be the one that breaks that cycle. You can. Like, I'm the seventh generation pastor in my family back to 1840. And I told that to a group of pastors one time. They're like, wow, man, that's cool. As if I'm cool. No, I'm number seven. I haven't done jack. Okay? Who is cool is number one. And then number two, who just kept following Jesus and taught his kids and so on and so forth. And the jury's still out on me, right? Okay? But everyone, maybe you can't be number seven where you get to reap this harvest of marriages, healthy marriages and family. But you can be number one, Dad. You can be number one. And affection is so important because 1 John 4:7-8 says that God is love. He loves us with an everlasting love. He demonstrates his love, Romans 5:8 says. We've got to demonstrate our love so that they know that the Father God, is a God of love. And here's the deal. You know, there's a bunch of great churches around, and I know I'm good friends with many of the pastors in this city. But let me tell you this, that this is a great place to raise your family. We are going after it with you. And if you're struggling like how to be a dad to your kids, this is the place to be. This is not a place where we put on the facade like we're all perfect daddies or perfect mommies. This is a place where you can finally go, gosh, this is so hard. I'm struggling. This is not working for me. I am lost. I don't know what to do. This is the place where you can do that. This is a place where you can get into a life group and see some other dads that maybe can sharpen you and maybe a little ahead of you or behind you, but you can sharpen one another. This is a place where where we have freedom prayer so that the pain of our past does not have to dictate what our present experience is, nor does it have to dictate the future experience of our kids. Man, we need to step up and take care of those wounds that we've received, those lies that we've believed, because our kids need to hear and see love from their daddies. And you can do it. Parents are in the perfect position to express the love of Jesus. Bedtime, dinner time, carpool time, all of those are just perfect times to listen to your child, to speak over them something that maybe they heard in Kids Zone, or something maybe you heard here or you've seen in the Bible. But we need to express love. And then the last thing that exasperates our kids is when our actions aren't consistent with our instruction. I mean, you know, like when we tell them one thing, but we show them another thing. Like I remember once, it was Sunday after church, and you know, I'm usually a little more tired. I was looking for my stool, I left it down there. I'm usually a little more tired. I was sitting there on the couch watching a football game, you know, watching two football games. I'm a multitasker. And so I'm watching two football games, and I hear the girls arguing upstairs. And then that arguing is escalating. Okay, now I'm tired, not quite as patient as my normally angelic self is. And so they're arguing, it's escalating, it escalates to yelling. So how do I handle that? Hey, no yelling! It immediately goes quiet up there until the oldest one, who's way too smart for her own good, says, "Daddy, you just yelled." Oh, come on. When my actions do not line up with my instruction, it exasperates my kids. And when God talks about not exasperating them, I don't think he's just talking about those frustrating moments, like when it's bedtime and you've run them ragged for the whole day having fun, and now it's time to go to bed and they're falling apart and you're still 10 miles from home in the minivan and it is chaos in there. Okay, I get that there's going to be frustration in the moment. There are going to be times when the way that you as the parent say things are going to be do not line up with the way your child wants them to be or your teenager wants them to be, but you're the parent and so you have to play that card and that is what it's going to be. And they're frustrated. That stuff happens. I think what he's talking about here is an exasperated life. And that's something we can avoid. See, you can have lots of money and still have an exasperated life. You can be a leader and seem to have it all together and still have a frustrated life. And it, as you're seeking significance and wondering really what your identity is and what your purpose is and where you belong in the world. And that's what he's talking about. He says, we don't want to exasperate. We don't want our kids to have an exasperated life. We want them to have a life where they know who they are to Jesus, and they know who he is, and they know they belong, and they know what their purpose is. And moms and dads, we have that. We're in the perfect position to speak that into them. And so he says in the very next line, don't exasperate them, but bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Training. Instruction. Training is showing. Instruction is telling. And there's a reason why training is first. They got to see it. You adult dads. I mean, well, yeah, you adults. You know this is true. You think about your own childhood. It was less what you heard and more what you saw that determined what you actually believed your parents held to in their core. And that our kids, my kids, need to see, they need the showing and the telling to line up. And when those two things line up, man, God blesses. You don't have to be perfect. That's the great thing. In fact, when you're not perfect, he's giving you two. He's giving you a plan A and plan B. Plan A is for showing and telling to line up perfectly every time, okay? Not going to happen. So what's plan B? Plan B is asking forgiveness, being humble. Honey, I was sarcastic to you. I mean, honey, 7-year-old, I was sarcastic to you. And that's not who daddy wants to be. And I know that didn't make your heart feel good. Would you forgive me for that? When you start doing that, you who have kids that are little, it builds trust. My daddy, see, they already know you're not perfect. So quit trying to keep that illusion in front of them and intact. They already know it's not true. What they're wondering is, are you humble? Are you authentic? Do you know you're not perfect? Do I know I'm not perfect? And when they know that I'm not perfect and I apologize, they can trust me more. So when I say, honey, this is something daddy needs you to do, they go, you know what? In their heart and their mind, they're like, okay, I don't like it, but I'm gonna trust. It makes things much, much easier because it's the way God designed it to be. And it's not too late to do this, no matter how old your kids are or if you have grandkids. It's not too late for this. I want Aaron Perez to come up on stage for just a moment. Aaron is one of our dads. He's got to put his daughter to the side off his lap. And I asked, Aaron and I are in discipleship together. And so we go after Jesus together for the sake of ultimately being able to do it with other men and people that we work with. And I asked Aaron today, we were just waiting on some of the other guys to show up. I said, man, I'm doing this. I'm talking to dads this Sunday. If there were one thing, there was one thing that you'd tell to dads. Your kids are how old?
Seven
and three. Okay, so you're still in the thick of it. So you don't know everything yet.
No.
But I said, if you could tell them one thing, what's the most important thing you'd tell them?
Yeah, that one, he surprised me with these questions, right? And it's just like, hi, how are you? What do you think about this? It's like, so my response was, I mean, it may sound a little bit churchy, but just go after God, you know, just go after his heart. Our kids need that. And for me, I see that with my kids. They needed me to be that conduit to know who he is. And for, you know, just like we were talking about today, obeying. If we want our children to obey God, that comes down on us. We need to be the one to show them that, you know, when we do it, this is why we do it. That way they can also get to know him, trust him, love him, and obey him as well.
So, but when you say go after God, I mean, that's sort of a nebulous churchy term. I mean, I get it. But, like, what does it look like for Aaron Perez in a given week? What does going after God look like?
Yeah, that one did take some time to create those habits, right? Because, I mean, some of us, I mean, we know who God is, but we weren't doing it daily. I think just like the song that Brian sang today, in his presence daily live. And so for us, it was creating the habit of getting into the word, memorizing verses, journaling, taking those baby steps one day a week, 2 days a week. And it progresses. And for us, it was really neat to see. We use technology quite a bit, you know, I'll be the first to admit. So I take advantage of the drive to work. You know, you got the Crossbridge app, you have the Bible app, you have the Right Now Media app as well. So different ways to get plugged in and connected. And I mean, for me, sitting in traffic 45 minutes, I can either listen to music or listen to an app where it's like really, really inspiring, motivating, and teaching. And when I get to the parking lot, just write a few words down, you know, just jot it down and go from there.
So you're making the most of you're a busy guy. You're an executive. You got people underneath you. You got to get to work early. I know they want you to stay late. And so you're looking to maximize the opportunities
exactly
that they present.
Yeah, just work. Yeah. I mean, because at home, you know how it is with kids, the smaller ones especially. It's just as soon as you get home, they give you a hug, and it's nonstop. So I use that drive time, right, just to get in there. And another thing.
Well, let me say this. That you mentioned the app.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't have the Crossbridge app, would you get it? Just go online and type in Crossbridge in the app store. It's a blue logo with our circle and cross in it. He mentioned the app. If one of the prominent buttons is Bible study. If you're wondering, I don't even know how to do a Bible study. If you'll press Bible study on that app, it'll pop up 5 verses that are what I'm going to preach on the following week, okay? So you can be in the Word on the same stuff that I'm in the Word on, okay? And then, if you've never done it before, there is just an explanation. I give you 4 or 5 steps. Here's how to have a living Bible study, not just a study the Greek thing and geography, but how to actually experience the Holy Spirit. Just try it. And like Aaron said, he started out one day, then maybe 2 days a week. And then he began to see life feeling better, him looking more like Jesus. So he kept going. Yeah, okay, so.
Yeah, and another thing is when you start those baby steps, things really start to change. I was the cautious, a little bit quieter type. I was just more conservative. I wouldn't be the one to jump out there and volunteer right away. God changes your heart. Have a heart that says yes. You know, when God's wanting including you in something, say yes more often than you say wait or no. And that's kind of like how I ended up here. We started talking. I was like, he knows he'll say yes. So, here we are. Life group. You know, life group is another thing. If you're not plugged in, get plugged in. That is such a powerful, I don't know, just a network reinforcing. It is wonderful. I shared with our life group last week. First time I ever went, again, I was the no person. I'm never going to do this. All right, we'll do it. I said yes. I contemplated all the way up the sidewalk of turning back around. You know, I was like, what are we going to do in someone's living room? I don't get this. This is so foreign. But after a few years now with the Lydells, wonderful group, we're fixing to branch off and launch one in our own home, and our kids just absolutely love the idea. Mm. And so, again, just mind-boggling.
Okay, so your kids, that's another point. So you're going after Jesus. I mean, you're still making mistakes just like I am, but you're going after Jesus. You explain that. But what do you do to show, how do you make it visible for your kids? It's got to be different for everybody, but what do you do?
We try to include them in every part of our life. I know sometimes we try to keep them separate. You know, mom and dad know what's going on, keep the kids out of the loop. Another thing we said yes to was teaching the Sunday school class or the Sunday class upstairs. We're in our third year now. Again, I never thought about ever hanging out with 23-year-old kids. But we do that. And we include our oldest with us. And she likes to come in and, you know, she reads the Bible story time. She's taken over that part. But anytime we even face something at work or home or life, we include them in that. You know, anybody ever experienced anything, you know, changes at work, any challenges at work? You know, every day, right? It's like all the time. Well, this past week, I had some stuff come down. We had a lot of management changeover and things happen. On Monday, we got together as a family. And instead of hiding it in like I normally would have, I decided to be more transparent and bring our daughter in and say, all right, baby, this is what's going on at work. There's a lot of changes. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what to do, but I'm going to ask God for some wisdom. And it was pretty neat. You know, this was Monday. Wednesday, you know, in her little mind, she still remembered it. I go to drop her off. She gives me a hug. She goes, Daddy, I'm praying for you today. And she knew Wednesday was a really big day. So that was like, ooh, right there. You know, allergies happen. but what was, you know, I don't know if I shared yet, but, you know, being the man of the house, there's a lot of pressure. But what was really cool about this whole situation, it was Friday. I got not just one job offer, but two. And she got to see the power of prayer come full circle.
Yeah.
And so.
But and you also said, now that you say it, I remember you said, too, that there when Anya's doing her homework, that sometimes you'll take out your Bible and be in the same room with her so she sees you engaged in the Word of God.
And that's a big part of it, too. I forgot totally about that, is just let them see what you're doing. Because I know my parents read the Bible. It's probably after we went to bed. And we never saw this. I never saw them doing it and living it and practicing it. So that's one thing, you know, during homework time, we'll get ours out when we write it down. The Bible app is pretty neat. They call it, you know, it'll read it to you. So the kids get a kick out of it because it's just real nice to spend all that time together studying and doing our homework all at the same time.
Yeah, and here's another cool thing. He's actually doing it right now. His 7-year-old daughter is over there videoing her, so we can wave over at her, okay?
Well, that's for mom, because mom's phone. Not here, so she wanted to be...
Yeah, and so this is just stage. Or you have to stand up on stage or anything like that. But him saying yes was just a way that he could now show out loud to his girl, hey, this is, I love Jesus. So he's even doing it right now. You're killing two birds with one stone. Hey, let's give it up for Aaron and thank him for standing up here. Here's the deal, Dad. Every time we talk about being a dad or being a mom and following Jesus, you got to realize that we have a spiritual enemy. Okay, I never forget this. And he is always trying to twist the truth of God. That's what he did in the garden with Adam and Eve. He wants to twist the truth, and he wants you to think like, you could never do this, or you've made so many mistakes, you could never rectify them, or you know what, it's too late for you, or it will never happen, or there's too much for you to overcome, you're not good enough. He wants to speak all those things, and that is why Jesus referred to the devil as the father of lies. That's what he does. So when you hear someone saying in your mind, you're not good enough, we know that's not Jesus. Because Jesus says there's no condemnation for you, right? When we hear it's too late, he says, whoa, whoa, whoa. For me, a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day. I created a bubble of space and time and you all operate within it. But I'm outside of it, God says. And I can make up for things for the years that have gone past, the years that have been wasted. I can fix those things. He is always hopeful. And he is always with you. And when you turn to him, he can make things change like this. So you need to have hope and reject those lies. If you're hearing any condemnation for any way you've lived, all you have to do is come to Jesus. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me, you who are weak and heavy laden. He wants you to bring that burden to him. You don't have to be perfect. You know why? Because he is. He's perfect. He's done the heavy lifting. You just be like Aaron and just keep saying yes. And I wonder what he's asking you to say yes to right now. What is that? Is it to get into a life group? Is it to get the Crossbridge app? Is it to start coming to Sunday more consistently? Is it to sign up for Freedom Prayer on our website? I don't know what it is, but you just say yes. And every time you say yes, you're taking a step toward Jesus. And in James 4:8, he says, every time you take a step toward me, I take a step toward you. You don't have to climb the mountain. He's coming down the mountain for you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Allergies just got me, as Aaron would say. Lord Jesus, oh, how you love these daddies. How much you believe in them. Lord, there's not a command you give, but that it leads to treasure and that you walk every step of that dotted line with us. So Lord, we pray the anointing. We just agree with that anointing you have on dads. And we say, yes, Lord, you're going to be faithful to do it in them and through them as they yield to you. Lord, I pray that this week, moms and dads would go after you. They'd listen for what you're saying, and they would be men and women who say yes. This week, Lord, I ask that these children who are within the earshot of my voice, whether they be 3 years old preschool or whether they be 18 years old and just right on the edge of adulthood, God, I just pray that they would know that faithfulness, your hand of blessing is over them as they obey and honor their father and mother. Lord, let us be a people that live out this treasure-filled life you have for us. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Next week, we're going to talk more to the women. I'm going to ask Sarah Brandstetter to help me with that. So that's all we have for today. But before you leave, what I'd love you to do is stand up, greet one another, and then you can head out. Go in peace, and may the God of peace go with you.